We get started. Father God, we come before you and we just want to be real with you. Whether we're angry, upset, happy, sad, lonely, whatever it is, Father, I pray that we would just be who we are right now and listen to you with that heart and that mind, with that struggle or that issue. And we would just hear your voice and what you're saying here today right now. Not my voice, not what I'm saying, but you. And I pray that you would heal whatever is going on here and that you'd help us to truly just be your children, your daughters and your sons. Thank you so much. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right, so families. We all have families, and families are probably the strongest, closest people in your lives, the strongest relationship that you have. Now, how many of you guys have never fought with your family? Never fought with your mom, never fought with your dad, never fought with your brother, never fought with your sister, anyone? If you never have, be proud of that. That's amazing. That's what I thought. No one. All of us, we fought. The people we're the closest to are sometimes the people we fight the most with. Doesn't make sense. The people we love the most, we sometimes fight and hate each other the most. Same with me too, with my brother. I have a younger brother, year and a half younger. We've been fighting since day one, since he was born. Like, I'll just give you a few examples. When I was 10, Christmas time, he gave me a present for the first time. 10 years, he never gave me anything, and then finally he gives me something. He gives me a Ninja Turtle doll, a stuffed animal, right? Leonardo, my favorite. I open it up, I'm like, dude, I love this, this is awesome, thank you. You know, it's great. And then later that day, we get in a fight. And then he comes up to me and says, give me back the Ninja Turtle doll. I was like, what? That's a present. It's a gift. You don't do that. But he takes it, and I get mad. So I beat him up, and I take it back, right? I'm the older brother, right? It's my gift. It's mine. Fast forward, in high school, we went to rival high schools, played in different sports teams against each other. Or sometimes, if we're not playing the same sport, we would be rooting against each other. And so even in high school, we like fight about our schools, have pride about our schools, argue, talk bad about this competitive thing that we had, right? College, went to the same college, fight about God. He's not a Christian, doesn't go to church. And I fight, this is not a good example, but I would judge him and criticize him for not being a Christian or going to God. And obviously he would get defensive and upset and mad, and we'd argue about that. And I remember yelling at him and going crazy in the car one day. It was bad. Even after college, we fought a lot. We lived together for a little bit, and we got in a fight. It was so stupid over like cable TV and whatnot. He got mad at me one day. Like I went to park my car in the garage, and he put his refrigerator right in my parking spot, so I couldn't park there. I was so mad. I was like, "Are you serious? A refrigerator? It's not like a little like you know like something you can move easily. It's a refrigerator, right? It's hard. It has wheels, but you can't adjust it and move it as easily as you'd like." So I got mad at him and angry at him, but I didn't beat him up this time because he's bigger than me now. And, he did the ROTC. He was going to be a Ranger, so he bulked up and everything. And so I just yelled at him a little bit, and then I went to my room. But I fought with him. I fought a lot with him. But no matter how much we fight, he will always be my brother. He will always be my little brother. Because we're related by blood. There's no one like him in my life that related by blood. So no matter how bad it gets, no matter how much we fight, he will always be my little brother. I will always take care of him. I will always watch out for him. I will always be there for him. Even if it got really bad and I hated him, and he hated me, if it got so bad, we were fighting so much, no matter, even if it got that bad, and let's say there was like an earthquake and California got destroyed. Sorry, I got like phlegm in my throat. Let's say it got that bad. With an earthquake, things are bad. Obviously, I would make sure my family was okay. Like, call, make sure Grace is okay, Karis, they're okay. And then I would call my brother. I would want to make sure he's okay. Even if I hated him and we got bad, I would want to make sure he's okay because he's my little brother. He's family. We're connected by blood. I care for him. I want to make sure he's okay. I want to make sure he's fine. And that's exactly the same for a lot of you guys here today. With your brothers, your sisters, your mom and dad. No matter how much you fight, no matter how much you get upset and angry with them, they're still family. You still care for them. You still love them. You still have that connection and that bond with them. Regardless of how bad it gets, they're still family. Now granted, for some of you guys, You guys have some really big family issues to the point where you guys think, that guy is no longer my family. I don't even consider them family. I hate them that much. And some of you guys have some really deep stuff and deep issues, and I'm sorry, my heart goes out to you. And you may not understand this, that they're still family, but I think there's only a few minority of you guys. I think the majority of you guys still understand, yeah, they're still family. I still care about them, even if it gets bad. But we have a problem here in church today, because the problem here is that we are a spiritual family. Even though we are a spiritual family, we don't treat each other like a family does. Because all families fight. Church family, your physical family, we all fight. And here is no different. We fight. But the difference is, after we fight, we don't treat each other like family. We don't understand that we are family. We're still brothers and sisters. You don't treat each other like that. Instead, you treat each other like strangers or like gangsters. Strangers or gangsters. Stranger, have you guys ever heard the phrase, stranger danger? Right? It's like you've been taught that since elementary so you don't get like kidnapped or whatnot, right? The point of it is, if you see someone that you don't know, they're dangerous. So you don't talk to them, you don't associate with them, you don't do anything with that person. Some of you guys do that with church. You come to church, you don't know anyone here, you think they're dangerous because you don't know them. So you don't associate with them, you don't talk to them, you don't say hi, you don't do anything with them. You treat them like a stranger, a dangerous stranger. You could be sitting in this chair for a year if you're new, 4 years if you've been with us throughout high school, or 12 years if you've been growing up in this church. You can sit in the same seat every Sunday and not know the person's name in front of you, behind you, 3-4 rows on your right or your left. You may never know their name. So you treat each other like strangers instead of family. Some of you guys treat each other like gangsters. Do you know how many gangs there are in LA? 450 gangs according to LAPD. There's 45,000 gangsters among those 450 gangs. The statistics on how much crime they committed last year, 16,398 violent crime. Not like they went to the candy store and stole like one piece of candy. That's gang-related crime. That's not on the topic. Like gang-related serious violent crimes. Among those 16,000 crimes, 500 were homicides where they killed each other, 500 deaths, gang-related. 7,000 were felony assaults where they beat each other up pretty bad. 5,000 were robberies where they stole, like not like a little like dollar bills, but like hundreds, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And 100 of them were rape, where they raped. Those are violent crimes. Gangs, they go and they fight each other. They try to build their own gang and they fight and kill and destroy other gangs. That's the whole point. Their goal is to hurt, destroy, and kill. And Christians, sometimes we act like gangsters too. We have so much hatred, anger, bitterness toward each other where we hurt and destroy each other just like gangsters do on the street. Because gangsters, they have weapons, right? They have bats, guns, knives, all these different things they hurt and kill and destroy. Christians, gangsters, we don't use those kind of weapons. We use our words as our weapons. We are sarcastic, we joke, we're negative, we're mean, we cut down people. That's the way we hurt and destroy. Gangsters, they use graffiti, they write on public walls about their message or how awesome they are or they talk trash about other gangs on the walls with graffiti, they tag. Christians, we do that through Facebook. We do that through your Tumblrs. Well, you'll talk trash about people, you'll talk about them, maybe not directly, but indirectly use other names or pronouns or whatnot to talk about events or people in your life to talk trash about them publicly. Gangsters, if you've ever been in a gang, they have a thing where you stare each other down, or if you see another rival gang or someone you don't like, you look at them, you put your head up high, and you like look down on them and like you stare them down like you want to kill them. Because you want to show them how tough you are, that you're ready to fight, you're ready to get on their case. Christian, gangsters, you don't do that publicly, you do that in your heart. Where you stare each other down, you look down, you have all this anger, bitterness, you want to just take them down. You don't talk about it publicly, you don't stare them down in the room, but you may give them an evil eye, little glance here and there when they're not looking, when they're not facing you. You just hate on them. There's sometimes more hate in the church than outside the church. There's so much anger and bitterness and fighting and destruction here than outside. And maybe you guys don't have anything against anyone here, but maybe you have something against someone out there at another church, another brother or sister, Honnery, Irvine, Bethel, another church, wherever, it doesn't matter. Maybe if you have something against them where you have a gangster mentality where you want to hurt and destroy them. Just kind of help you understand how bad it is. There's a church at OMC. They had a big, nasty church split, and one of the pastors had lunch with them. He's a cool guy. He decided to go to OMC and be the senior pastor there. And right when he accepted that position, Pastor Jim Bob, the other church that got split off and they got kicked out of the building, they sued him for $1 million. He doesn't have $1 million. It's a ridiculous lawsuit. It got thrown out, but he got sued for $1 million. Later on, he got sued again. And this lawsuit said that they did not own the church building, so they had to get kicked out. They got kicked out for a couple weeks in their service. They had service outside their church building. Outside. So it's like us having church out there. Not in here, but out there. They had church out there. The other church hired another pastor so that when Pastor Jim Bob would be speaking, the other pastor would be speaking at the same time. So there'd be two pastors speaking at the same time, and so no one could understand what anyone was saying. That's pretty bad, right? It got so bad that the other church would also send in these big, muscular guys and block the hallway entrances of their church so Pastor Jim Bob couldn't even go to his own sanctuary or move around his church. So Pastor Jim Bob had an army of grandmas who are like church leaders and deacons, like Konzanims. They would go and like push and move and be the bodyguards for him. Kind of a sad picture, right? Kind of funny. That's sad. These churches were fighting against each other. I know that's like not IBC, we don't understand that, and we never probably will experience that, hopefully. But we have our own share fair of fighting and gangster mentality. Fighting church splits, pastors leaving, pastors kicked out, pastors, all these different things. Or even people here are fought against each other with teachers. Other different things have happened here where we have a history of fighting too. Where we are no different than other churches. That's weird. Where we have a lot of hatred and bitterness even here in Rooted High School Ministry. Where we have a lot of division and fighting and gangster mentality here. So the question is this. Why don't we love each other as a family? Why don't we understand that we are a family and love each other and work through the fighting? Because fighting is natural and normal. It occurs in friendships and families. It happens wherever. But why don't we love each other as a family regardless? Two things, two reasons. First one, because a lot of times we don't really understand and believe that we are a family. A lot of times we don't really believe and understand that we are a family. Yes, you have been taught that we are brothers and sisters in Christ in Romans 9, 8, 1 John 3, 1 to 12. You understand the Bible verses that say that we are children of God when we accept Christ and follow Christ, that now the Holy Spirit lives in us and now we are brothers and sisters as God is our Father. You understand that, but you don't really believe that. You don't really get that. Because the person on your left, the person on your right, they are your spiritual brother and sister. I want you to turn to them and say, you're my spiritual brother, you're my spiritual sister. You guys are family. If you're a Christian and you follow Christ, you guys are brothers and sisters in Christ. That bond, that relationship is so much stronger than your family. That is so much stronger and deeper than your family bond. Because a lot of you guys have non-Christian family members. And so your non-Christian family members, they don't have that same understanding. They don't have that same relationship that you do. For instance, I have a friend, missionary friend from Hong Kong. He's a white guy. Their family was there doing mission work in Hong Kong. Now he went to the same college as Grace, and she knows him too. And he married an Indian girl, okay? Not the feather, but the dot, okay? My Indian friend told me that, right? Not the feather, but dot. India. She became a Christian in college. She got disowned by her family because they're Hindu and you can't become a Christian. So her family rejected her. On top of that, she got married to a white guy. So So for the family, that was like two big sins you don't do in Indian culture. So she got rejected by her immediate family. So when she reads Romans 9:8, 1 John 3:1-2, and talk about the family of God, that we're children of God, and that we're brothers and sisters, she understands this verse to be so true. When she goes into the church, she sees her brothers and sisters, they come to her, they love her, they cherish each other, and they have this connection that's so much deeper than her immediate family who has rejected her. The bond that we have here today is so much stronger and deeper and more connected than our family bond who are not Christians, and they don't get it. If they're Christians, then they share that same bond with us too. But they're not Christians, they don't understand that. They don't have the same level of depth and connection. I am closer to my Christian brothers than I am with my brother, my immediate brother, my blood brother. I'm closer to my Christian brothers and sisters than I am with my brother. Because with my Christian brothers, we share Christ. We're unified in Christ. We have that commonality. We share the same experiences. We share Christ to a certain level and depth that I will never experience with my brother. When I go to retreats with my brothers, when I go and have these amazing prayer times, Bible studies, these times of just confession and praying for each other and all these different things, we share Christ together. We do life together. We are vulnerable and open to each other. I never will have that with my brother. I want to have that with my brother, but we never will. Because we don't share Christ. We're not connected with Christ. I could have deep conversations and talk about philosophy and all these different things in life. We will never share life together. We will never be connected through Christ. Because we're not spiritually a family. Even though I am physically a family. That breaks my heart just thinking about that actually. It's sad. The bond that we have as brothers and sisters is so strong. It's deeper and stronger. And it all has to be unified in Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12. Chapter 12, verse 13. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he says this. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave, free, Korean, Chinese, American, doesn't matter. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. We all share Christ, the same Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God. We are connected by that. So we take communion together, we share Christ together, we are connected intimately together. More intimate than any of your friends that are not Christians, any of your family members that don't know Christ. You are connected here together as a family, brother and sister. And that family connection is always unified in Christ. It has to be in Christ. It's all through Christ. We become one body, one family together. I'm going to just read you a couple of verses just to help you understand this. If you want to read them later on, take notes. But Romans 12:5 says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 1 Corinthians 12:12, the verse right before the one we just read, it says, for just as the body is one and has many members, just like us, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are one body. 1 Corinthians 12:20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Ephesians 4:25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The theme of the Bible is consistently saying we are one body, unified in Christ. And a lot of times we forget that. We forget we're family. We forget that we're actually connected through Christ, that we share Christ, and Christ is what brings us together, and that's why we sit here together. You are related through your family, to your family through blood. But you are related to your spiritual family through Christ's blood. That's what unifies us. That's what brings us together. If you don't have that together, then just like the Corinthian church, they were messed up. They were divided. They fought with each other like gangsters. Just to help you understand how bad it was in this church, Paul addresses so many things that was wrong with this church. One thing was leadership. A lot of them said, you know what? I like Pastor Paul's teaching way better than Pastor Apollos. So I'm going to go and listen and follow Pastor Paul only. Because he knows the truth. He's right. Other people in the church have said, no, I like Pastor Apollos' sermons are way better. They make more sense. He's funnier. He speaks way better. I like him better. So I'm going to follow this guy and do whatever he says. Paul writes to them and says, you don't follow man. You follow Christ. You don't follow a guy. You follow what Christ says, what Christ has taught. We're not supposed to be divided among our leaders or who we like more. He talks about sexually this church was divided. There was a guy in the church, he had sex with his dad's wife. His mom, most likely his stepmom. Okay, he slept with his stepmom. It's like a show from like Jerry Springer or something, right? It happened in the Corinthian church. So the church was divided. They were letting sexuality go out of hand. It got so bad that they were also suing each other. They were taking each other to court. And everybody would hear about this like, oh my goodness, you hear the Christian? They're suing each other. Looks bad. Paul said, don't do that. It's better for you just to take the hit, make the loss, than to go out publicly sharing and having someone else figure out your business and your family issues. Take care of it in-house. Problem with the Corinthian church, why they were so divided and felt like they had to kill each other like gangsters? Because they let sin reign in the church. They let sin go rampant. Sin divides the church and it makes us treat each other like gangsters. Because when you sin, the focus is no longer on Christ. Christ is what who builds the church, who unites the church as one body. Sin takes the focus off Christ and takes the focus on yourself. And it just makes you think about yourself. Your pain, your struggle, your hurt, your issues, your stuff. Sin does not make you think about the cross. Does not make you think about Jesus, does not make you understand that you are a family and connected intimately as a body, one body. Sin divides that. And I think a lot of us understand that here today, especially for those of you guys who are divided among each other, brothers and sisters, whether it's 9th grade to 12th grade, guy, girl, 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 guy, guy, whatever. There's so much division even here. I'm going to suggest to you that it's probably your sin. A lot of you guys are filled with sin, and it's making you focus on yourself and making you believe a lot of these lies that, and a lot of these miscommunication, assumptions, beliefs, these things that are not true. It's making you believe that and dividing you to make you treat each other like gangsters or strangers. So you fight like a family does, but you don't treat each other like family. You don't think of each other as family. You just want to cut it off and not do anything about it. That's sad. So just to close, what do we do? How do we be a family? How do we be one body connected in Christ, through Christ, for Christ? First thing, two things I'll suggest is one, identify your sin. What is your sin? Not the other person's sin or how they hurt you or did something bad to you. Your sin, your issue, your struggle. What is the thing that you are doing to make this division, this hatred bigger and worse? And if you understand what that is, go to God, go to Jesus, and ask for forgiveness, repent, confess, reconcile. And something for you to understand, read Ephesians 6, because the enemy is not your friend. The enemy is not the people here in this church. The enemy is Satan. The enemy is evil. The enemy is sin. It's death. It is not people. It's not flesh and blood. It's evil. If you understand that this is a spiritual battle, it changes the way you fight with each other. Because yes, the person who hurt you and sinned against you, they are responsible for that sin. Don't want to take that away. But you have to understand, this is very spiritual too. This is a spiritual battle going on that you have no idea. That Satan is attacking that person to make them want to live in the flesh, to hate you and be bitter and angry at you. And that you are also being attacked spiritually, where you're giving Satan a foothold to allow you to continue to hold on to the anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, where you're letting that reign in your body. So you have to understand this is also a very spiritual battle. It's not just a physical thing, emotional thing. It's also a very spiritual thing where Satan is attacking and destroying because he hates the church. He hates the church. He hates you and me. He wants to destroy us. And he's going to do everything in his power. If you give him an inch, he's going to take a foot. And so a lot of your battles that you have is not just it's not with each other. It's with Satan. It's with sin. And if you understand that, you pray differently. You pray for each other. You pray that they would have the strength to follow Christ instead of Satan and then sin. And you pray and you forgive. That is our weapon in this spiritual battle. A lot of you guys have been holding so much anger, bitterness, misunderstandings, false assumptions, lies, that is just tearing you apart. The only way to get rid of that is to forgive. Whether or not they deserve it or they, it's just or fair, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is being unfair. It's letting go of that. We talked about forgiveness last year. If you want to know more about it, talk to you about it, but get notes from someone who took it from last year. Forgiveness is a huge thing. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to be a family if you forgive. We will fight. It's natural for us to fight as a family. But the only way to deal with it and rectify it is to forgive. And there's a lot of anger and sin in here. Because as I've been talking to people since retreat, and at retreat, and after that, it's just, wow, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised. It's heartbreaking to hear how much division, anger, and gangsters we have in here. And the only way to deal with that is to forgive. For those of you guys who have no idea what I'm talking about, and you're like, I don't hate anyone. I like everyone here, and everyone likes me. Everything's great. No problems. If that's you, awesome. But if that's you, I want to encourage you to go and meet someone new every Sunday. Go and meet someone new. Go out of your comfort zone and be a family member to them and go meet them. Family members, when they come together for family functions, they know everyone in the family. Whether or not they like them or they say hi to them, they at least know them by name. A lot of you guys don't even know each other by name. Granted, if we were like a mega church with thousands of people, it'd be hard. But we only have like 40, 50 people in this room. That's like some of your sizes of classrooms of like 30. You know everyone in your classroom's name. You should know everyone's names here. They're your brothers and your sisters. I make it a personal effort every Sunday to at least say hi to everyone here. I don't get to you. I'm sorry if I didn't get to you today. But I try. My goal to personally go and say hi and welcome you. Because you're my brother and sister. You're valuable. You're worth it for me to say hi to you. We need to also have the same mentality. Every Friday, our leadership team, we meet, and one of the first questions I ask them is, how are you doing? Not them, but you. How is our church? How is our ministry doing? How are our people doing? And they share. They have conversations with you. They try to interact with you. And we pray for you. We talk about you and your struggles, your issues, and we pray for you every Friday because we care. Because each one of you is important. I apologize if we haven't made that clear and communicated nor shown that because we're human. We make mistakes, and we can't equally love everyone. But we're trying. And we want to. And we pray. I encourage our student leaders to go and do the same, where they try to go and meet and greet you guys. We're trying. We're not perfect. We don't do it well. We're trying. Try to be the family of God. I know some of you guys are sitting here and you're thinking, why should I do this? Why should I go and meet someone new? Why should I go greet someone? It's awkward. It's weird. I'm not even going to see them. I don't even know them. I don't want to do it. Why should I go and forgive that guy or that girl? They hurt me too much. Why should I do this? It's easier not to do it. It's easier to me just be myself, be angry, be alone. I like that better. And the simple answer I have for you is because you're going to be spending eternity with that person, with that brother and that sister. So you start now. You're going to be spending eternity with that person, that brother and that sister, so you start now today. Because if you don't, and 1,000 years passes, and you're up in heaven, and you're still bothered by whatever happened on earth, and you're like going to your brother and sister, be like, hey, can we talk? Remember what happened like 1,000 years ago on earth, like that whole fight we had? Like, you probably don't remember, but I still do, and I got to work out some stuff, so let's talk about it. Been 1,000 years, I've been struggling with it, it's kind of awkward, but let's talk about it. That's weird! You don't want to have those kind of conversations and reconcile in heaven. God's not going to be like, this is what I was hoping for, finally, right? It's like you could have did it on earth like 1,000 years ago. Take care of it then. A lot of you guys wonder, what's this life for? What am I doing here? Does it matter what I do? Yes, it matters. This life is preparation for eternity. How you live your life does matter. That's why God wants you to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love other people, because that's what you're going to be doing in heaven for eternity. So you start now, today, to prepare yourself for eternity. Because think of it the other way. If you start doing the opposite of that and not doing those things, it breaks my heart to say this, but your eternal pathway, if you're sitting intentionally and trying to mess up God and disobey God, you're going the other way. And you're preparing yourself for eternity down there in hell. Don't think that God's going to be like, oh yeah, this is exactly the kind of people I want to come into heaven. Now, we're not talking about works and being good and all that stuff. I'm talking about loving God and loving other people. I'm not talking about going to church every Sunday, reading your Bible every day. I'm talking about loving God. Yes, you will do that stuff, but it's all about love. Loving Jesus and loving people. This life is preparation for eternity. I know some of you guys are thinking that, well, if that's the case, I will wait till I'm dead and wait for heaven, and then I'll reconcile. Then I'll forgive. Then I'll take care of all those issues and meet all the people, the billions and trillions of people up in heaven. I'll wait till then. I don't want to do it today. I don't want to do it tomorrow. Too uncomfortable. It's too awkward. If that's your attitude and you say, I don't want to do it today, I'll just wait till death or heaven, I'm going to be real with you. That is a sinful and prideful attitude. That is a sinful and prideful attitude. I say this out of love. Not because I want to hurt you and make you feel bad and make you have a crappy Sunday. It's because I care about you and I want you to reconcile and forgive. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, 25, 26. Paul is telling to this church, so that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. He's talking about the church. If one of you guys suffers and you have this bitterness, anger, hate, and malice toward each other, and if it's just you two and I'm not even involved, I suffer. Ian suffers. Sunku suffers. The teachers suffer. Even if we're not even involved, the body, we suffer. Even though if I'm not directly involved, I suffer. The body suffers. We suffer. Because you may not think I will be affected by it, but we are. Everyone gets affected by it. One family problem, you know this in your family, even if you don't even relate it to them, you get affected by it. You hear it, it hurts you, it breaks you. You have to try to reconcile that. You have to do it today. You have to do it soon. Now. You do not wait. If you are waiting, you are sinning. That is a prideful, sinful attitude. Because then that means you really don't understand God's love, God's forgiveness, God's free gift of salvation to you. You'd rather focus on yourself and the pain rather than focus on Christ and the cross. And I really want us to be united in Christ. Not united in me as a pastor, not united in a student or a teacher or anyone other than Christ. And the only way to do that is by forgiving, by meeting each other, by greeting each other, by asking, how are you doing? Let me be authentic and real and pray for you. Let's be the church that's united. Let's pray.